Hello, everyone, and welcome to another America's Conservative Podcast. I am your host, Ed Densel. It's Tuesday. It's May 2nd. You have a little less than 2 weeks to Mother's Day, so I hope all of you don't forget that. I have not lived close to my mother since 1998. Moved to Las Vegas, then I moved to Florida. But since then, I have not missed a Mother's Day. I haven't missed her birthday. My mother loves flowers, so it's easy to buy for her. And so I've never missed those two important days of the year, and I take great pride in that. And I hope you don't forget that Mother's Day is May 14th. You still got time, plenty of time. You got to go online. You got to go to the florist. Whatever you think that you're going to get for your mother this year, you got some time. Don't forget, please. I'm going to get right into the show because this first story, we're going to get into some of the regular stuff, the spending bill. Jim DeMint, you remember yesterday we talked about that. He is out at Heritage, but there's some conflicting information of why it happened. I want to talk a little bit about that, but I have to start right here. This first story. Have you heard about this FBI agent who left her job and went and married a terrorist? Have you heard this story? It's just getting out, I guess, now, but it's been building. It's been happening since 2014. This is when she originally left her post in the United States and went to Germany and then went to Syria to find this particular guy and marry him. And now then she had second thoughts, came back to the United States, and she only spent 2 years in jail. Have you heard this story? I saw this morning, and I was like, what? You know, I have so many opinions about this. Let's just get right to the facts, and then I'll get into that other stuff. Her name is Daniela Green. She was originally born in Czechoslovakia, but then her family moved to Germany. She ended up marrying an American in the military over there stationed in Germany. She came to the United States. She got a diploma at a university in Oklahoma. She got her master's in Clemson. She came, being that she lived in Germany and was born in Czechoslovakia, she knew these other languages, and she got into the FBI eventually. I think it was in 2011, because she could speak these other languages and she was going to be some sort of translator or linguist, something like that. And to get that type of position, because in that position you are translating very sensitive information, she had top security clearance at the FBI, and you had to go through a very rigorous process to get that clearance. I don't think that every FBI agent out there in the field has that, but she got it somehow. One of her professors at Clemson even wrote her letter of recommendation saying she was one of his top students. And eventually, so she's doing this work, and eventually she gets this information on this, and I did not write down the rapper's name. Of course, it's some long Muslim name, but the guy's real name was Dennis Cuthbert, not like the actor who was in, 24, and he was also in Major League, not that guy. But this guy was originally a rapper. I think he was German. And had done a couple things, made a couple records or whatever, songs. He opened up for, I guess, DMX at one time. But then he had a car crash. He survived this car crash and suddenly became very religious, became Muslim, and eventually went to the Middle East into Syria and became part of ISIS. And there are videos that you can find of him on the internet, I don't know if they're on YouTube, of him doing his rants and chants and around corpses. I've not seen this video. I've only read about it in this article, which you should know comes from CNN, but I'm sure you can find this news all over the place. But he got, he of course got attention from the United States military and intelligence. And his file ended up on the desk of Daniela Green, G-R-E-E-N-E, not just like the color, but with an additional E on the end. And she started studying him, and somewhere in there, it sounds like she became infatuated with him. And what she did was, being that her family still lived in Europe, she got a travel visa to go over there under the guise of going to see them, leaving her husband. Like I said, she's married. I don't know if they have any children. But she got on this flight to go see, I guess that's what she told her husband she was doing. She got on this flight, went to Germany, but then got a one-way ticket to Turkey. Somehow, I guess because of the information she could get as in her position as an FBI agent, could get in contact somehow with somebody who might know this rapper slash terrorist. She went into Syria, met this guy that she was supposed to be investigating, supposed to be following, and married him. Yes, this is real. This is real. I do not believe that this was any sort of undercover operation where, you know, like the police and maybe the FBI do with the mafia. They get guys to pretend they're in the mafia, and they, I guess you could think of Donnie, the movie Donnie Brasco, Johnny Depp, and Al Pacino, which was, of course, based on a real story that he, you know, pretended, Johnny Depp's character pretended to be this mob guy for a long time to the point where he never saw his family anymore. I don't think that was what was going on with Daniela Green. I think her intentions were to become a terrorist wife. You should know for the fact, I met Donnie Brasco. I met the guy in real life who, whatever, I forget his name right now, but I met him in 2003. That's true story. Who the guy Johnny Depp played in Donnie Brasco, I met him. Anyway, so her full intention was to go over there and become the bride of this terrorist. Well, it wasn't long after that that she started, I don't know how she even could even do this, but she started sending emails back to the United States to a friend of hers telling them that, you know, I got into something and I made a big mistake and I wish I could turn back time and everything. And already, of course, the FBI figured out pretty quickly that Daniela went over there to see her family and then never came back. Never came back to work. And they started tracking her down, and somehow they figured out what she did. And then somehow, the details of all of this are still a little bit foggy. She somehow got out of Syria and came back to the United States and turned herself in, and she spent 2 years in prison. That's it for what she did. And she is now out of jail. She spent her, so this all happened like 2014, very quickly. She went over there, got married, had regrets, came back, went to jail, and then she just got out of jail, I'm going to guess within the last 6 months or something. And you should not be surprised. She's not in the FBI anymore. She's a cocktail waitress at some casino hotel somewhere in the United States. You should know that at least on the article I saw at CNN.com, they blotted her face out. And even when they did track her down, she asked CNN to not reveal where she was or anything for her safety and for the safety of her family, if you think she deserves that or not, but that's what CNN is doing. So I don't know what she looks like. If I passed her on the street, I wouldn't know who she is, but she was once an FBI agent, and now she is a cocktail waitress. That, I'm going to guess that that's the first time that's ever happened, that somebody, that a woman in the FBI went from FBI agent to cocktail waitress. That would be, I guess, for a guy like a guy going from FBI agent to plumber or something, even though just some other type of profession that's totally opposite of being in the FBI. Maybe there is a story of that. I've just never heard about it. So that's the story. It's real. And there are a lot of people wondering why she only got 2 years. If an average American were to just pick up and leave and go to the Middle East and hang out with terrorists for a little bit, then come back, do you think it would only be 2 years? I don't think so. I think that in the cases where we've had these people who have conspired with terrorists in the United States, didn't have anything to do with the Orlando attack, didn't have anything to do with San Bernardino, didn't have anything to do with the Boston Marathon attack or any of the others. But those people who were connected, they get a little bit more time than 2 years, don't they? Doesn't it seem? And then wouldn't it seem that if when you are an FBI agent and you have all these top secret clearances and you are trusted with the security of the United States and then you just have a dereliction of duty and go to the Middle East and marry a terrorist, isn't that a lot worse? Doesn't that deserve a penalty that is longer than 2 years? I happen to think so. So there's that part of it. And in the article, once again, if from CNN, if you want to believe it, there are so many words, if you can read between the lines, that at the FBI, they really did try to keep this under wraps, keep this really shushed up, keep it on the down low because of this. Now, obviously, they weren't ultimately successful because it's now on CNN and a lot of people are going to find out about this. And we'll see if anybody pays the price for her only spending 2 years in jail. They said she was, you read the article, she said she was very remorseful and made a mistake and everything else. Well, who knows what she told them while she was over there? She had top security clearance. She obviously knows, she would have obviously at that time in that position known more about what was going on with the FBI and terrorism in the world more than your average citizen would. She certainly would know more about it than I would. Who knows what she told that guy while she was over there? And I once again say that I don't believe this was some kind of undercover operation. I don't believe that for a second, you know, and then the FBI just put her in jail just to make it all look good. But when she was over there, what she was really doing was getting information on what ISIS was doing. And then she came back and she divulged all this information. Well, we had to put her in jail just to make it look good, make it look like she actually did leave the FBI when she really didn't. And yes, now, yes, she's a cocktail waitress somewhere. But really, behind the scenes, she's still getting her FBI salary and all that. I don't believe any of that for a second. I believe that this is a woman who became infatuated. What else can you call it? I mean, I know that early in women's lives, many of them become infatuated with bad boys in their teenage years. And in the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18... And probably some women do take it a little too far, and I think that's how some get into problems that they have in their lives. But most women, after a while, say, you know what, those guys are trouble. After a while, that kind of wears off. Well, this woman, she was one of those women who, it seems, never got over that infatuation with bad boys. I don't know what was going on in her marriage. Who knows? You know, there's I think of a story like that, this, and I think of the movie True Lies with Jamie Lee Curtis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, where she's just this mild-mannered housewife who wants a little adventure in her life, and she meets Bill Paxton, who's nothing but a liar. He's a used car salesman, and he convinces her that he's some top spy, and all he's trying to do is get her into bed. And so she starts doing these things, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, is the real spy and finds out about it. It's a very clever plot to that movie. James Cameron did a nice job with that. was Daniela Green just a real-life version of Jamie Lee Curtis's character in that movie? Here, Daniela was in, translating German or other languages into English so other agents could read the information. She's sitting at some desk, and she's looking out there across the world. She's frustrated with her husband or with her life. She wants a little adventure, and then this case has popped down on her desk, and she said, yeah, this is my ticket out. That's some wicked thinking right there. You know, if you're in that situation in your life, you know, why not go like hiking on the Appalachian Trail or something like that? If you really think that you need to get out and test yourself, maybe go on a mountain expedition, train and try not maybe Mount Everest, but, you know, go somewhere and climb a mountain if you want some adventure and want some challenge in your life and say that you actually did something that very few people have done. I don't know if becoming infatuated with a terrorist, going to Syria and then jumping into bed with him is the best choice. And, you know, the other part of this, and to take this conversation farther, when you hear, see, being that I, this other program that I do, Unfound, I deal a lot with crime. I read a lot of disappearance cases, thousands. And, you know, talk to families, and we talk about suspects and people we believe, you know, did harm to these people who disappeared. And what I learned from that is that this, you know, what you see on the surface is just, it's a little bit like an iceberg. Is that what is it? Only 1/10 of the iceberg is above the water. The rest of it is all under the water. And with disappearances and you find out there's a suspect, that's usually only the tip of the iceberg. That in murder cases, once a murderer is caught, you find out that he committed a few others. You know, the one that you know about is just, once again, the tip of the iceberg. I see the story about Daniela Green, and I wonder if this is just the tip of the iceberg. And, you know, you start to worry, and you hope, you worry that there aren't more average Americans like this. Now, granted, she was Czech. She moved to Germany. But she was ultimately an American citizen. And you wonder how many other Americans feel exactly like this woman does. That even though they know that these terrorists are bad people and they're dangerous and everything, there is something that draws people in, both men and women, both women, the adventure, the romance of it, I guess you'd say, which is something I can't understand, but I guess that's the way they'd put it in the heat of the moment. And then on the other hand, men who need an adventure in life and they want to go over there and take up arms and fight for ISIS. We know that there have been Muslims in the United States who had seemingly no reason to go back over to do that, but they have. And you just wonder about that. And I happen to believe that if you're hearing this story just now, and you're thinking that Daniela Green is just a one-off, just one strange woman out of 170 million females in the United States, I think you're wrong. If you're going to dismiss it as she's just one out of 330 million in the United States that would do both between men and women, both boys and girls that would do something like this, you're wrong. I happen to believe there's probably a few too many Daniela Greens or Dan Greens, to put the male side of this, there's probably a few too many of them out there. Now, why is that? Why is that? I do not believe this is a straw man argument. This is something that I believe is real, because there are other stories of Americans going to fight for ISIS, for Al Qaeda. It happens. This is just, I think in this particular circumstance, it's particularly egregious because it's an FBI agent who had to go through all of this vetting and interviews and background checks and everything to get this position. and still did what she did. Well, to me, all that says is this desire to do this is ingrained in these people to the point that I'm not sure any psychiatrist could really dig that deep to find that in these people. That it's so deep, there's no vetting, no interviewing, no background checks that can predict that if a person is going to do this or not. And that's scary. That is scary. You just don't know who you can trust. And I'm sure if we were to meet some of Daniela Green's friends and talk to them, I'm sure they'd say, I would have never expected this of Daniela. I am just shocked. And they'd be right. I wouldn't think that they were lying. They'd probably be right. It was just something that she hid down inside of her so deep that nobody could get to it, that you could never could have predicted that she was going to do something like this. And in there somewhere, and this has been a topic on this show, is how do you stop this before it happens? And how do you stop domestic terrorism? Because this is what she did is really just another version of domestic terrorism, even though I don't believe, at least they haven't proven yet, that Daniela, while she was in Syria, killed anybody or took part in any of these slaughters or anything else. But she sympathized with the enemy, an enemy that's well known. It's not a mystery. She willingly did it. She was not blackmailed into going over there and doing that. So, you know, how do you stop then domestic terrorism? People who think like this, but their choice isn't to go over to Syria and marry a terrorist or go up over there and become a suicide bomber. Their choice is to stay here. And what if Daniela Green, let's just say, instead of her deciding to go over there and marry him, she just contacted him from over here and said, hey, I'm infatuated with you. I think you're sexy. I believe in your message. I want to be loyal to you. Is there something I can do here in the United States that can help you out? Now, I ask you, if she would have done that, and maybe she had been planning something but got stopped beforehand, do you think that she would have only gotten 2 years in jail? Because what she did going over there is no different than her staying here and then conspiring with ISIS members, you know, communicating from the Middle East. This is what makes stopping domestic terrorism so tough. Because you just don't know who's going to pop off next. There are no necessarily any warning signs. I don't know if there was any. I know that some of these people had been vetted, you know, had been investigated by the FBI. The Orlando attacker in particular. But I tell you what, if those FBI agents who are doing the interviews are thinking like Daniela Green, then no wonder some of these interviews, these people are slipping through the cracks and are allowing to eventually commit their acts of terror anyway. This is what makes it dangerous as well. As I sit here, I can't honestly tell you that Daniela Green is the only person in the FBI who had the kind of thoughts that she acted on. There are probably FBI agents working right now who probably do think, right like she did, they just haven't acted upon it yet or aren't brave enough to do it. Some kind of Stockholm syndrome, where, if you don't know what that is a situation where the kidnapped people start having sympathies for the people who actually kidnapped them. And it's, I guess you could call it a form of brainwashing. But in this case, Daniela Green, she hadn't even contacted this guy yet. They hadn't even talked over the internet, no Skyping, anything. She just became infatuated with him from however far away, 5,000 miles away, and she said she was going to seek him out. Is this a breakdown of our culture? I have a serious question. is this a breakdown of our culture? I try to think of something that would be similar to this. Yes, I know that, for example, in World War II, leading up, I should say, to World War II, there were German Americans who, once Germany attacked Poland, which was the start officially of World War II, that there were Germans who went back over to Germany and fought for the Nazis. That's well documented. Many did that. However, I'd like to think, and maybe I'm just naive, but I'd like to think that if these same German Americans who were over here were actually American citizens but still had family members in Germany, if they were to have found out some way that not only – it wasn't just – whoops, hit the microphone. It wasn't just Hitler attacking Poland, but – Hitler was rounding up all the Jews, and they were starting this extermination camps, and millions of Jews were on the verge of being murdered, the Holocaust. I'd like to think that most of those Germans wouldn't have gone over there. I'd like to think, well, we want to go fight for our home country, Germany. We have family over there. And then somebody were telling, yeah, but you also know that they're taking innocent people and putting them in these camps and cooking them and doing experiments on them and everything else. You aren't going to go over and defend that, are you? I'd like to think most of those German Americans who went over there and fought for Germany would have said, oh, really? Well, then in that case, I think I'll just stay here. I'd like to think that. But in this case, with Daniela Green, it's worse. She knows exactly. She knew exactly what ISIS was doing. Beheading people. I mean, the news is out there. The videos are out there. The pictures are out there. She still went over there, which makes her way worse than any of those German Americans who went and fought for Germany and then eventually ended up fighting against their own country during World War II. To me, this makes Daniela Green way worse. She got 2 years. She's a cocktail waitress now. And I once again ask, is this a breakdown of our culture? Where seemingly innocent Americans with good jobs, whether it's in the FBI or whatever else, they start having sympathies for the terrorists. And this, you should know, though, if you've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast for a while, you know that this isn't a new topic to me. I continue to believe as long as ISIS exists, as long as it seems like it is fighting the good fight against the United States and Turkey and Russia and Saudi Arabia and France and everybody else, and even though it's not that many people, but they're putting up this very brave fight, even though they are horrible, horrible, horrible people, there are going to be people who would never think about hurting a dog or a cat or a bird or anything else, who will look at them and become somewhat infatuated with them, both men and women. This is one more of the perils of allowing battles and wars to go on too long, because at some point, some people, there's just something weird in the human mind. Maybe it's our love for an underdog. Or, you know, rooting for the underdog, who knows? They start thinking, well, it's been going on so long, and maybe those people have a point. Maybe they really are tough. Maybe they should be defended, since they're such a minority, and this large majority of these other countries are trying to destroy them and wipe them from the earth. Maybe that's not right. I have to believe that there is that thinking out there, that at some point it ceases to be about the countries and people who are right, and the cults and terrorist groups that are wrong. Instead, it becomes, well, there's less of those people, so they need to be defended. Because we've gotten, I think, too caught up in you know, minority rights and things, although they are important. But somehow, I don't know how this is all working, but somehow I think that that is starting to click off in too many people's minds. And it's going to continue to happen as long as these terrorist groups continue to exist. There's just something about it. But I got to go to the break. You're listening to America's Conservative Podcast.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital. Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back in America's Conservative Podcast. I want to move on to some other topics. But I just think that a story like this, you can learn so much from it. There is so much. When you hear an FBI agent that ended up marrying a terrorist, you got to start worrying about what is going on at the FBI. And maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, there's a lot of bad stories out there about the FBI these days and whether it's competent or not. And I guess this is just one more story to add on onto all of those. Just a bizarre story. And I don't think that she got enough time. Given her position, she should have gotten life. She should have. That's my opinion. She got off easy. And so for any of you that are going to any casinos or whatever anytime soon, keep a lookout for a woman who might be Daniela Green. Maybe you can give her a piece of your mind. Let's move on to something else. I mentioned at the beginning of this program, and of course I talked about it yesterday, Jim DeMint is out. Former senator from South Carolina. He was the president of the Heritage Foundation. He is officially out. He's gone. But there are conflicting stories as to why that is and who may take his place. Yesterday, there was the rumor there's a story that I had read that maybe Steve Bannon would be taking this position. And of course, you heard my discussion yesterday. Would that be good enough? You know, you're going to get Neil Gorsuch as your Supreme Court nominee, but Steve Bannon's going to head up the Heritage Foundation. Ivanka Trump's going to be playing nice with the Planned Parenthood. We have this spending bill where Planned Parenthood is still getting financed. There's no financing in it for the border wall, all of it. And so is Neil Gorsuch, you know, going to keep you nice, warm, and cozy at night? Now, allegedly, the reason, if you read the story at FoxNews.com, and what's going on at Fox News, the actual TV side of it, is amazing. Sean Hannity might be out. Some other people have left. A lot of changes going on over there. Lots of changes. The biggest, easily the most changes around the same time that have happened since the station started, 20 years ago, something like that. On one hand, regarding Jim DeMint and him leaving or being kicked out or resigning from the Heritage Foundation, one side, there's the argument that he became too political, that Heritage got away from its main theme, goal, mission statement, that it is for conservative advocacy. It's not supposed to get so much involved in the political process and getting behind certain candidates. It is more about, it is more of a think tank and putting out articles and papers about how the United States should be going in a conservative direction on this topic, on that topic, whether it has to do with terrorism or North Korea or trade barriers or immigration. It's supposed to just be very just hardcore issue-oriented, conservative issue-oriented. It is not a nonprofit organization that is out there campaigning for a certain candidate or all Republicans or anything like that. And so there is a thinking that Jim DeMint got too heavy into the political side of it. I don't know. I have to admit that I don't keep tabs on the Heritage Foundation. I can't even say the last time that I even went to their website. To my knowledge, maybe it's been a while, but I don't believe I've ever sent any money to them. So I don't know what to say regarding that. I don't know if they've been, quote-unquote, too political or not. I don't know. All I know in general, as you would all expect, that I think too many conservatives have gone too far in a populist direction, given, you know, the success that Donald Trump has had. And I think too many conservatives have gone along with him. And that's not news if you've been listening to this show for a while. On the other hand, I don't know if that's the reason or not, because there is a woman, her first name's Rebecca. Unfortunately, I forget her last name, and it's not spelled R-E-B-E-C-C-A. Like, when I see Rebecca in my head, that's the spelling of it that pops up. But hers is R-E-B-E-K-A-H. I don't know if she did that just to be different or her parents were just weird or something, but there is some woman who is on the board of Heritage, raises a lot of money for them, and she has been a Trump supporter. And the word is, at least in this Fox News article, that she is pushing for Steve Bannon, that's where the story got started yesterday, for Steve Bannon to head up the Heritage Foundation. Now, maybe it's just me, but I think that putting Steve Bannon at the head, outside of the ideology of it, but it certainly would make Heritage more of a political group, not less, if Steve Bannon were to head it, given his connections to Donald Trump. So right at this point, I'm not sure what to think. Like I said, on one hand, they got rid of Jim DeMint because he was going too much in a political direction. But now one of their main members, who was for Jim DeMint getting not being in the position anymore, wants an even more politically connected person to head up the Heritage Foundation. It's hard to understand. I don't know what to make of it. At this point, I'll tell you what I'd like to think. I'd like to think that Jim DeMint was let go because he wasn't going to go along with Donald Trump and play kissy-kissy with him. And maybe that's what some people, and if this Rebecca woman is to be believed in her motivations, then he didn't want to go along with that. He needed to walk away from the position, or he got fired. And it is, in the end, going to be a situation where Heritage Foundation does get more political and becomes closer to the political side of political issues instead of the ideological side of political issues. I think this is going to be a mistake, if that's the case. I think this is, once again, something that's being driven by a fad. Heritage Foundation has been around for a long time, and I think it would be a mistake for them to get caught up in a particular politician, in Donald Trump, in his thinking, or because so many conservatives have gotten behind him, because I think this is all going to be very short term. I still say that, because I don't believe that the conservatives are going to get many wins in the next 4 years or 8 years if Donald Trump were to get reelected. I don't see that happening. And so I don't know if the Heritage Foundation wants to get wrapped up in all of that. But, you know, you learn very quickly, and I see this in the other program that I do, Unfound, that, and even in this show as well, it's very easy to get caught up in fads. It's very easy to get caught up in trends. And I have to say that too many political conservatives, so-called conservative commentators, have had that happen to them in the last 2 years. There's no doubt in my mind that they went along with Trump because they thought it was good for ratings, get a lot of attention out of it. We know how many people who were nobodies before latched onto the Trump train and became somebody's Katrina Pearson, Tomi Lahren, some guys on Twitter that now have radio shows and everything else. There is no doubt the getting behind Donald Trump was big business, and it continues to be big business. It is. But it's a fad. And anytime you go along with a person instead of an idea, that's what you risk. And, you know, and I see it in my other program, the other program I do, a missing persons program. There are shows that will only do the already popular missing persons and serial killer stories that are out there. That's all they'll do. Why? Because it's good for their ratings. You know, it's no different than also maybe something maybe you can all maybe better understand, the JFK assassination. There is not one new piece of information that has come out about the JFK assassination from since 1963. All these conspiracy theories and the magic bullet theory and it turned in midair and everything. To me, it's all lies. I think it's very easy to believe that Lee Harvey Oswald did that all by himself. Just so you know where I stand at it. But still, there are conspiracy books about JFK that come out all the time. And guess what? They sell in the thousands. Even though there's no new information out there. Why? Because it's popular. There's not a lot of... There's nothing new. There's no new ground broken. You know, and each book, you know, has its own theory as to what really happened. But dang it, it sells a lot of books. It gets those authors a lot of attention. But I don't know how much new ground is being broken. I don't know how much truth is in any of it. And truth and facts are usually the first thing that go by the wayside when people get caught up in fads. You know, this isn't fashion. This isn't music where different styles go in and out. There's no morality regarding clothes. There's no morality, regarding music. It just goes with people's tastes. Hard rock came in. It went away. It came back. Hip huggers were cool in the late 70s and bell bottoms, and then they went away, and then suddenly they came back in the early 2000s, and now I see kids wearing these sunglasses that were actually from my generation of the late 80s. Those things happen. But when it comes to politics and when it comes to the truth and how the world works, it shouldn't be based on fads. Your belief should not be based on what is cool today. There are eternal truths about how the world works. And as you know, I don't think that Donald Trump appreciates that. And I think that he's a liar. I don't think he's a good guy. And I think, but he is a great fad. He is a great hula hoop. He is a great pet rock. He is a great chia pet. He is a great set of Ginsu knives. And pick any other thing that sham wow or whatever else, anything that you've ever seen on late night TV, that's the way I view Donald Trump. So getting back to the Heritage Foundation, being part of a fad can be really good for business. It can be great at raising money in the short term. And that's why all of those late night TV ads continue to exist all decades later, even though most people look at them and say, well, that's crap. There are people that's buying that stuff. Well, all of you who bought into Donald Trump, you're buying that stuff. And it seems that maybe Heritage is going to buy some of that late night infomercial stuff as well. I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. It's sad. I hope that's not what's going to happen. I hope that the new leader of the Heritage Foundation is not involved in politics. I hope he's just or she is a good conservative who doesn't want anything to do with Donald Trump, just wants to continue to do conservative stuff. But the problem is that conservative stuff is not what raises money right now. And it could be that Heritage Foundation, being that they have to rely on donations and grants from private people, that being that maybe they haven't been on the Trump train as much as everybody would like, their donations are down. And now they figure, well, they have to jump on the Trump train to pick up their donations again. That could be it. And that's also sad. You talk about selling out. You talk about selling out. Do all of those people really, really need their jobs so badly that they're going to change the mission statement of Heritage Foundation just to keep those jobs? If that's the case, it's pitiful, and I don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. I hate sellouts. I got to tell you, I hate them. I hate people that go along with crowds because they feel like they're forced, they have to. You know, I hate people who succumb to peer pressure. Well, I got to go drinking because my buddies are going to do it. I got to go to the strip club because my friends are doing it, and I don't know what to say to them, and I don't want to look stupid. It's just not me. Maybe you already know that in listening to this show as long as I have. In fact, I can tell you when I'm the kind of person that when a group of people start agreeing with me, I start actually double checking my own positions. That's the way I am. I start getting suspicious. Well, maybe I'm the one who has lost my way. That's just the way I am. I'm not a contrarian, but I do get a little suspicious when two PDP people start agreeing with me. Especially when I know that they have opposed me for so long. Don't get me wrong, I like when people agree with me. It just depends on the circumstances. You know. So there's just that a part of me that I don't know why that is, but Heritage Foundation, if you're really thinking about becoming more political and you're going to make Steve Bannon the leader of your group, good luck with that. Really, really, really good luck with that. Let's move on to something else. As I've told you, and I've told this to my friend Dave as well, that I'm inclined to believe that this entire Trump presidency is nothing but a reality show. I think that the most recent example of that is this calling up of all of these senators to the White House. Why? Because it looks cool. I mean, the administration said it was so they could be informed on what's going on with North Korea. And if you wanted to read between the lines, you could almost get the idea that there was kind of this message being thrown out. The reason we're calling these senators up here is because we're about to do something really drastic with North Korea, and we just want to inform all the senators before it happens. Well, it's been 5-6 days since this meeting at the White House happened, and nothing's changed with North Korea. Not one thing. Nothing. Except for the fact that Donald Trump said that, yes, he would meet with Kim Jong-un, which is I could go off on that for a half hour on its own. But calling all those senators up to Capitol Hill sure was a great photo opportunity. It makes great theater. All that was missing were the stage managers and the producer and the directors and the scripts and the lights and the cameras, or maybe the cameras were there, and the backdrop and the setting and the studio. That's all that was missing. It could have easily just been a reality show. Now, if you continue to doubt me and you think that I'm just a Trump hater for saying this, we have another recent example of this, and it comes from Wilbur Ross, who is the Commerce Secretary. And it has to do with this the strike of these cruise missiles into Syria. And if you can't believe it, that happened on April 6th. So it's almost been a month now. Seems like yesterday. Well, if you'll remember, when this happened, Donald Trump and his people were down at his Mar-a-Lago, down here in Florida, at his resort there, and the president of China was there. And they were talking, getting together. And Wilbur Ross is now, and Wilbur Ross was there. And he is now talking about what went on that evening that just happened to be that the president of China was here, and those cruise missiles were launched at the same time. This comes from Variety.com. Yes, I'm going to guess this is the first time that Variety.com has been sourced on this show. Wilbur Ross was speaking somewhere within the last couple days, talking about that evening of April 6th. You know what he said? He said they had dinner, and then afterwards, dinner, Donald Trump said that he had something to tell the president of China, and he wanted to make him aware that they were now going to watch a cruise missile attack in Syria. And Wilbur Ross at this event, I forget why he was making this speech wherever he was within the last couple days, he called the Syrian attack after dinner entertainment. That's the joke that he made. And I guess the people who were in the audience wherever he was speaking laughed. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. That he would portray it that way. That it, and it does seem now, I mean, if we are to believe Wilbur Ross, that the dinner that evening was timed in a way so that you could have dinner, and then afterwards, hey, we're going to flip on these TVs, secret TVs, and if you don't know, they could take this war room with them anywhere, and it can be beamed back to the White House, wherever the president is, this actual attack, anything, that we have the ability to do that these days. And they sat there, and that was the, once again, as he put it, the after-dinner entertainment, watching cruise missiles being shot into Syria. It's disgusting, right? It's disgusting that the president and his people would time something and then right after have this, you know, to show off military power, this missile attack. That's something that third world dictators do. They have dinner, they have everybody up, and then afterwards, we're going to go out into the square and watch my political adversaries be hung. And we're going to watch their bodies be carved up into little pieces. That's after-dinner entertainment in third-world countries. You know, it's not a movie, it's not some music, it's not a walk in a park, it's not going out on some boat or yacht just to admire the atmosphere in the evening or anything. No, in third-world countries, their after-dinner entertainment is death. And it seems, if we're to believe what Wilbur Ross, this is what went down at Mar-a-Lago as well. That they had dinner, and then they got to watch America's military might. I'm wondering something. Was the dinner timed around the attack, or was the attack timed around the dinner? I just want to know. And then afterwards, Wilbur Ross, who is a billionaire and who should know better, goes and speaks somewhere and makes a joke about it. Are you starting to get, do you get my message yet? Has it sunk in yet that this is all just political theater? It's just for show. Senators coming up to the White House, all these comments, Mike Pence showing up at the DMZ just for a photo opportunity. They're using missile attacks after dinner to amuse China, the leader of China. It's all just theater. It's all just Hollywood. It's all just photo ops and opportunities for entertainment. Why? I think that's who Donald Trump is. I think that's who the people around him are. I think that they care about the hype and the drama and everything instead of national security and doing what's right and doing what's conservative. And I think everything that this administration does is framed around how do we make this a great episode of a TV show. I think everything is thought of that way. They think in terms of entertainment, not in terms of policy and rights and truth and all of the things that the way a president is supposed to handle business. It's disgusting. I gotta go. EdwardDensel.com is the website. Find this program Saturday or Tuesday through Saturday, 2 a.m. Eastern time on Red State Talk Radio. Find it on Podomatic and iTunes as well. My other program, Unfound Missing Persons Program, you can also find it on Podomatic and iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter, USA Podcast or Unfound Podcast. and I got to go. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.